Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are in the middle of our week going through a section of verses in 1 Peter chapter 1. And as we've been going through these first couple of days, even just the first few verses of this text, I think is helping us to contextualize the rest of our Lenten journey. To say, what is the goal, not just of my life, but what is the goal of Lent? Is it completing all of my commitments like I said I would, like never cheating on giving up sweets and doing everything perfectly? You know, because I think sometimes that's often what we can do is being like, well, I completed all my fasts perfectly. I'm getting so much stronger. Look at me. I'm so much more disciplined. Or is it becoming conformed to the image of Christ with the revelation of Jesus, with the hope of the resurrection as the goal, and letting that inform all of my behavior? And as we began to talk about that in the first couple days, what we've been running into in this text is this idea, this reality that we talked about in the first day, that Jesus Christ will be revealed. This is what we set our mind on. This is what we long for. And friends, I want you to ask, and I want to ask in my own life. You know, I was listening to a really good interview with a spiritual writer that I really like, and she was saying how she goes to the Lord so often in prayer, and she's like, Lord, I'm not delighting in you. I'm not really enjoying our time together. I sometimes prefer to do other things, and just being honest with the Lord about that. And at first when I heard that, I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. Like, that seems like sitting down with a friend and being like, hey, I don't really enjoy our time together. But this reality of so often we can go into prayer, we can go into our relationship with God, we can go into our practices in Lent and be like, hey, I'm just doing what I got to do. I'm just checking the box. Yeah, like I don't really enjoy prayer, or it's boring, or whatever it is. And not that I'm saying it's supposed to be fun. Not that I'm saying it's never going to feel just like a discipline that you have to do. But to actually go to the Lord and be like, Lord, I want to delight in you. Lord, I want to experience pleasures at your right hand forever. I want to walk with you and look forward to our times together. What needs to happen in my heart in order for that to happen? Pour out your grace upon me. Like, be honest with him in that way. And I think this is the same thing. Be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, give me a deeper longing to see you revealed. Because as I walk in that deeper longing and I grow in that deeper longing, a desire to be conformed, as we talked about yesterday, to your image and not to the passions of this world grows in me. And what grows in me, this is a reality of the spiritual life, friends, as we long for Jesus as he is, as the Spirit comes and works in us, because that's not us working. It's the Spirit of God that lives in you through your baptism, groaning with words, as Paul says, that are too great for us to understand. So the Spirit of God in you communicates with Jesus in prayer, searches the mind of God, Paul says in Corinthians, and communicates that to you and shapes you and transforms you and allows you to desire God. And as you desire God, you desire the things of God. And as you desire the things of God, you desire to be obedient. You desire to be obedient, which is what we talked about yesterday, living as obedient children, not conformed to the passions of our former way of life, but conformed to Christ. This is the process of transformation that you are in right now. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to read our passage and continue to go on verse by verse in this section of scripture. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you even give us a desire to desire you. We thank you that through the power of your Spirit, you live and breathe and move in us and produce in us a desire for God. And we thank you that as your Spirit works and we yield and surrender to your Spirit, that the desire for God produces in us a desire to obey. And so we ask for that today. We ask for a deeper desire to see you come again in glory. We ask for a deeper desire to be conformed to you, to love you, and to obey you. Holy Spirit, we yield to you and we ask you to move in us. And we pray all this in your most holy name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and read our section again and then continue on. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up your minds. Be sober. Set your hope fully upon the grace that is coming to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you invoke as Father him who judges each one impartially according to his deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest at the end of times for your sake. Through him you have confidence in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere love of the brethren, love one another earnestly from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. Amen. So yesterday we left off as obedient children. Do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. So he's saying, do not live in the way you lived when you did not know Christ. Do not go back to your old way of life. Do not indulge in your passions. And as we come to know Christ, we fix our eyes on being formed and conformed to his nature and character and not to the ways we lived. But as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Be holy. This is a big thing. This is like a word I think that we just gloss over. This is something that we're so used to hearing the word holy that we just kind of don't define it. We're like, okay, I think it just means like special, or it means godly, or it means something really great, you know, just be really great, just be better, just be like God. But this word holy, meaning to be set apart, being set apart. So the Old Testament origin says, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy, is Leviticus, especially in 19:2. Where God is calling them, he's telling the Israelites, be holy for as I am holy. And he's calling them to be set apart for God, to live differently from the surrounding pagan nations. And holiness for the Israelites, it wasn't just like ritual purity. It included how you treated the poor, the strangers, family members, and your enemies. And so this is what Peter is reaffirming here in the New Testament. He says, as he who called you is holy, as he who called you is set apart, he's consecrated. How is God set apart? He's not like us. He's far above us. He's perfect. He's majestic. He's glorious. We can't even grasp God's holiness. He's morally pure. There is no evil in him. And so holiness means all those things. It means being set apart. It means being consecrated to him. It means belonging completely to God. It means being morally pure. But most deeply, in a deepest sense, holiness means sharing in God's own life. And if you look at this, he's saying, conduct yourselves. Conduct yourselves. What does conduct mean? It means this is how you're to walk. This is how you are to behave. This is how you are to live. Conduct yourselves as he who is holy. Conduct yourselves like God. Model your behavior after the creator of the world. Model your behavior after the Holy One of Israel. And this is where sometimes I think we can get caught up in the modern world, as we can say, I'm doing good because I'm not doing as bad as other people. Oh yeah, maybe I'm watching this show that's bad,
But I'm not watching this show that's way worse that everyone else in the world is obsessed with. Maybe I'm not reading these books. Maybe I'm reading this book that has some bad things that I have to skip over. And maybe it's forming my mind in a particular way. But at least I'm not reading X, Y, and Z inappropriate books. And we begin to look at how our walk in holiness is going in comparison to a standard of the world, in comparison to the negative standard, and be like, well, at least I'm doing better than I was. At least I'm doing better than this person. At least I'm not being worldly in this way, as opposed to the standard of our conduct being godly. And so there's a difference. It's like, oh, if I'm saying, oh, at least I'm not gossiping as much as the worldly people around me. Yeah, I still gossip sometimes, and yeah, I still do it, but I'm not doing it as much as these other people that are doing it all the time, okay? That's completely different than saying, you know, what is my speech? Is my speech that's coming out of my mouth, is that godlike? Is that godly? Is it set apart? Is it consecrated? Does it show that I belong completely to God? Is it morally pure? And so asking that question of saying, am I basing my conduct and how I'm growing in holiness off of the standard of the world, and if I'm doing better than the standard of the world, or am I looking at the standard of God and saying, does this show that I'm set apart? Does this show that I'm consecrated? Does this show that I belong completely to God? Does this express that I'm sharing in God's own life? So it says, be holy yourselves in all of your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy as I am holy. This is a high standard. And remember, before this, Christ says, be obedient. And our obedience is not going to be perfect. But the question here is to say, am I attempting to be obedient to the command to be holy as God is holy? God is not going to judge our perfection. The command is not be impressive, be flawless on your own effort, earn God's love. He doesn't say, be holy so that I will love you. It's a call to live according to the new identity that God has given us. He doesn't say, be holy, like I just said, so I will love you. He says, I am holy, therefore you who belong to me must be like me. Be holy, therefore, as I am holy, because you belong to a holy God. You belong to a holy God. You are ransomed from sin and death. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. You belong to a God who is holy. Therefore, your life must increasingly reflect his character. And what is his character? Holiness. And exactly, this is what Lent is for. And remember, we're trickling down. We're starting at the top to saying Jesus Christ is going to be revealed at the end of time. Therefore, I want to be obedient to him. Why? Because I'm called to be holy, because I belong to God, and I want to look like a holy God. I want to reflect his nature. And the more that I belong to him, the more that I'm found in him, the more that I lose my worldly self in his holiness, the more that I become like him. The more that I look like him, the more that I walk like him, the more that I talk like him. So Lord, help us to be holy as you are holy. Join us again tomorrow as we continue this conversation. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at avemariaradio.net and at renewalministries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.